Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Princess of Air by Natalie Camerata, narrated by Heather Wilds. Chapter 1. Thin cushions of air catch my feet as I creep down the hall. My shoes don't hit the floor and I make no sound. Creating the buffers beneath each footfall takes little effort. The air around me practically anticipates my wishes, like a well-trained pet. Mother says it's because I don't force it, that being friendly with elements makes them more cooperative. Noises ring through the palace as servants clear breakfast trays and clean every already pristine surface. They'll be busier than usual today. Even the small family celebration of the prince's birthday is a special occasion. After all, this is the precursor to the coronation to officially mark him as the heir. The very reason I float toward his chamber now. Past paintings in gilded frames and ancient tapestries, I approach my target in silence. A flick of my hand slides a wall of wind under the door, encasing the entryway. I open the door and close it behind myself. Prince Ryland sits at his desk, facing the window. He's likely engrossed by some report or something, confident in his belief that no one can sneak up on him. It's adorable. Wind chimes tinkle delicately over my head, a rather useless alarm from within my shield. You'll have to do better than that to catch me. I still the air around them and drop the shield. My lips press together as the anticipation reaches its peak. Happy birthday! The air works with me to amplify my voice. Ryland jumps up, throwing the chair halfway across the room. The entire palace shudders with his shock. His green eyes are like saucers when he wheels on me. God's Ara! We've talked about this! I collapse onto a feather bed of air in a fit of laughter. It's not amusing! Between chortles I say, oh, but it is. Your face! Wall hangings continue to sway slightly from the quake. If I weren't already tearing up, I'd cry from sheer pride. The door swings open and two figures appear. What happened? Marcus demands. Arabella happened.
Arabella can't shake the palace.
Nina sighs and glances at the wind chime.
When did she figure out how to get past your alarm?
Ryland crosses his arms and glowers at me.
I was about to ask her that.
Another fit of giggles totters my shoulders until a shock of cold water hits my face. I gasp and jump to my feet.
Marcus, was that completely necessary?
Everything you do is unnecessary. Perhaps I'm learning from your example.
Rye rights his chair and sinks onto it.
Of all of us, Arabella is the sibling you want to emulate.
I pull a warm gust to dry my face and run my hands through my damp locks, blowing heated air through the strands to evaporate the water.
Silly Marcus, there's only one among us worth modelling yourself after, and he is your future king.
Ryland rolls his eyes.
What do you want, Ara?
To bring you a gift, of course. It is your birthday and... I am your favourite sister.
No, you aren't.
Well, at least I'm Nina's favourite sister. Having no other options will do that.
Nina smooths her yellow dress as she sits by the vacant hearth. A fire springs to life without wood or kindling.
Nina!
Ryland's voice takes on an annoyed sense of authority.
It's too warm for that.
Ara?
The request is understood without her voicing it. I cool the room so we can all be content. As much as my brothers and sisters complain of the turmoil I cause, I'm always the one to clear the air between us. We fall into a routine without any cues. Marcus fills the kettle with a snap of his fingers. I float it over Nina's fire, and Ryland pulls some leaves from one of the many plants in his sitting room.
Aside from a heart attack,
Rye says, as they wither and dry in his palm,
what is my birthday gift? Shall I don armor before receiving it?
I waft the dried leaves into cups on the table near the fireplace.
Armour would be about as useful against me as your ridiculous wind chimes. Here.
I flick my fingers towards him, forming an airy halo atop his head.
What is this?
He pats his hands along it gingerly.
A cushion for your new crown. I wouldn't want it flattening your lovely curls or straining your princely neck.
Despite the irritating way you present it, this is actually a nice gift. The weight of the crown will be less when I have my second favourite sister around.
Not only when I'm around, it will maintain itself even when I'm away from it.
All eyes fall on me. My siblings can't leave their elements to follow orders from a distance, and it did take quite a bit of work to keep it stable. I shrug innocently. You all think I play with my power for fun, but it's called practice. Fire dances in Nina's eyes. Does Mother have any control over air anymore? This isn't about me. It's Ryland's birthday. Answer! I sigh. No. It's all mine. Each of us is leeching our mother's powers. We have been our entire lives. As Ryland's ability to control Earth strengthens, Mother's weakens. The same with the twins' water and fire. They shouldn't be jealous of me. We all know air was Mother's weakest ability. She never had a knack for it like I do. It's an effort for her to grow a tree now, because Ryland can raise a forest. Nina and Marcus are improving every day. They'll transfer all their power soon enough. That's wonderful, Ara. Ryland's smile is tight. Guilt pools in my chest. I really hadn't meant to take his spotlight. Enough about that. I grab the kettle by hand and pour boiling water into the cups. Now would be a bad time to flaunt my magic. What does a soon-to-be-crowned heir do for fun? Seek revenge against his mischievous little sister? His head tilts as though he's plotting. I grin and blow the balcony door open, content to leave the tea and this conversation behind. Only if you can catch me. A strong gust carries me out into the warm spring day. Free to tumble through the air is how I'm meant to live, like a leaf going anywhere the wind takes me. But a princess cannot live that way. It's almost a shame our magic is bound to the right to rule. The people who have control of the elements should be free to live amongst them. Instead, we're revered and set on thrones in a palace. Although, when I twirl about to look back at it, there are worse places to live. Vines climb higher along the tower toward Ryland's balcony, forming a grand living staircase, which he descends with more courtliness than the occasion merits. Meanwhile, the river flowing past the palace shoots upward, giving the twins a slide of water on which to get outside, much more appropriate for the mood. Mirador Palace is a reflection of the magic that passes through our family, keeping the elements close and allowing them to flow through it. It's a portrait of our kingdom as well. Alcos is as beautiful as the graceful slopes of the palace's domed roofs. Our people are as colourful as the city that stretches out before the palace, with minds as open and accepting as Mirador is to nature. Alcos has my heart completely. I'd do anything for this kingdom. Except it hadn't occurred to me that the thing it would need me to do is leave. I sigh and shake off the premature mourning. More than half a year has passed since that decision was made, and we still don't have a date for it. It may be quite a while, and regardless, I want to enjoy it here while I can. Landing in the soft grass far behind the palace, I wait for my siblings. I will either make sure they miss me terribly after I move away, or make them eager to be rid of me. Either way, I'm in the mood for some fun. Chapter 2. The dinner is much like any other. We all dress a little finer, and the decor is heightened, floral garlands and thick greenery bedecking the room for the Prince of Earth. An artistic assortment of leafy plants serpentines down the centre of the table. Rye, Mother and Grandfather almost certainly know each species of flora, but the rest of us seated here can probably only identify them as plants. Both sets of my grandparents are here to celebrate Rye with us. It mostly feels like a celebratory day again, now that my siblings and I had time to relax and blow off steam. Of course, even that came with some turmoil. It wouldn't be us without that. Across the table, Nina twists to thank the servant who fills her wine glass. The scrape on her shoulder is covered by a swathe of fabric, so we can avoid that reprimand. During our afternoon out, I did catch her in a net of air, but not before she got a little banged up. Somehow, she was less upset with Rye for dropping the ground out from beneath our feet than she was at the fact that I didn't fall at all. Then Marcus accused me of showing off by catching Nina when he had created a perfectly acceptable spring for her to fall into. This is exactly why I hadn't told them I came into my full power. The sooner they all take theirs, the better. While my ridiculous siblings grumble about having slightly less power than me, half the table has no such ability. No one without magic complains at all, yet those who do squabble over how much. Well, Mother's father may not complain, but not having magic is the reason he's always so grumpy. He waves a servant over to refill his glass. Amber liquid swells around as he brings it to his lips, then a discontented sigh escapes him after he takes a sip. Before he has the chance to ask for it, another servant rushes to him with a glass of ice cubes. To the staff, it's an eccentric preference of the former king, but it's one of the many things he can no longer do himself. Grandfather has been without magic approximately 22 years, but the loss of it still lingers. I'm not sure if anyone else notices these little things, but I do. So many little disappointments when he starts to do something but realizes he can't. Magic departing slowly seems like it would make it easier, but I understand. My magic is so deeply ingrained in me that I can't imagine the hollowness it will leave behind when it passes to my own child some day. Air braids through my fingers without me making a conscious effort, a little reminder of my magic which only I can sense. Are the scraps of power Mother still holds enough to keep her from feeling that same listlessness as Grandfather? Her smile is natural and warm as she chats and laughs with the family over the remnants of our final course. It doesn't appear to bother her. Not that I should be surprised. Nothing rattles the Queen of Alcos. Her beauty is renowned, but most of the kingdom never gets to see her relaxed. It's times like these when she's most stunning. These times also remind me that I'm the only one who doesn't bear much resemblance to her. Her dark hair has its variations through my siblings. Rich brown on Rylan, Nina's with hints of red, and Marcus's hair is so black it's nearly blue. My golden locks leave me standing out in a way I've never much enjoyed. Less so tonight, with our father's parents here. I take after the Valnora side of the family.
You let them forget their places,
Grandfather grumbles. I can only relegate such conversations to background noise for so long before some things get through, boring though they may be.
The ministry are only higher-ranking servants to the crown. Do not let them think they have their own power.
Mother's bright countenance remains in place. Father, I cannot hope to manage the entire kingdom myself. The purpose of having trusted people in the ministry is to alleviate the burden on me, and they can't do anything helpful if they don't have some power.
The appointed members of the ministry give voice to Alcosians outside the aristocracy. It's still a bold concept to our former king.
Ilium, Grandmama says. You forget that you too had well-trusted advisers during your rule.
She makes a graceful gesture between herself and Grandpapa, bracelets clinking against each other delicately. Silvery grey blends in with her golden locks enough to mask her age. That'll be a helpful side effect of inheriting my hair colour from my father's family.
Grandfather takes another sip of his drink.
Your family, that's different.
They weren't at the time, dear.
Only grandmother can correct someone who had been a sovereign without making him prickly. She carries the elegance and charm of someone born to be a queen, in her gentle manners and unshakable confidence. One could easily forget she had married into it. I don't know if I can be like her.
Is the ministry giving you trouble?
Rylan asks. While I try to block out such conversations, he's been badgering Mother about court business more and more.
We can discuss that after cake,
Father says. Finally. I had been pulling a breeze from that direction, hoping the sweet smell of chocolate would entice someone to initiate dessert.
Yes, please.
Nina lights the tapers on the cake from across the room, without so much as glancing at it, quite possibly attempting to bolster her self-esteem.
Why can't we discuss it over cake?
Of course, Rye won't be so easily distracted. He'll be in these ministry meetings soon enough, so I don't understand the rush. Once he's the official crowned heir, he'll be forced to be present for all of it. If it were me, I'd stay away from all such business until it was required. Mother sighs.
It isn't exactly dessert conversation, dear.
Well, that's a good way to pique everyone's interest.
What happened?
Marcus asks. Loving, albeit worried, gazes scan us. Grandfather shoots a pointed glare at Mother. Then Mother and Father look at each other.
It's only slightly sooner than we'd planned, he says.
Mother frowns as she looks about the room, then rolls her shoulders back. What's about to come isn't from our mother. It's from the Queen of Alcos.
There has been a growing sense of unease throughout the kingdom. Anti-magic sentiments are bleeding in through our border with Penham. People are finding it more difficult to trust us. Mina rolls her eyes. Doesn't King Kiernan feel at all embarrassed by his obvious jealousy? The thin, snake-like shape of Penham slithering up the west coast always seemed fitting. Tucked as they are between mountains and ocean, one would think they wouldn't be so irksome, but this nuisance still manages to prod us. The concern wasn't one I'd thought about much, until I learned it was enough to put me in my current situation.
That's why you divided your magic.
Ryland's voice edges on angry, with a deep timbre.
People are afraid of one person with too much power, so you spread it amongst us.
Instead of giving it all to me, goes unsaid. Traditionally, he would have received it all, as Mother did from Grandfather, and he from his father before him. The rest of us would have no magic at all, or more likely not exist. It's been several generations since Exos had more than one child. Resentment from a younger sibling with no magic was avoided this way. Instead, our family enjoys resentment dripping down from the eldest. Rylan accepts it for the good of the kingdom, and because he can't do anything about it. But if taking away 3/4 of the power he could have had is for nothing, I have no doubt his bitterness will fester.
That was the purpose, Father says, rubbing small circles on Mother's wrist with his thumb. However, some people believe 4 people of magical ability are more dangerous.
4 people, each with 1/4 of the power I'm supposed to have.
And there we have it. A scorching heat wave hits from Nina's direction, and I throw up a shield to contain it.
Stop it, Arabella. If he wants my power, he should be able to handle the heat.
That's not what I meant, Ryland says.
Isn't it, though? Enough, Mother says. Both of you.
I take a sip of wine. I told you I'm your favourite sister. Rione glares at me.
What do you want, then? Marcus asks. Are you meant to have another child with no powers to be the heir?
I am the heir,
Rye sneers. Plus, I say, a 5th would make you the proper middle child, Marcus, and I don't think you're ready to take my mantle as troublemaker. Rather than being entertained by my wit, my siblings' faces drop into exasperated expressions. Father suppresses a smile, though.
Don't you ever know when to stop?
Nina snaps.
Not at all.
I flash her a smile. It's something I rather pride myself on.
This is serious.
No, it isn't. Rylan is about to be crowned as heir. Pomp and ceremony are a fantastic way to regain popularity. Then it won't be long before we march through a parade of royal weddings, followed by Rye's coronation as king. We put on some good shows, and people forget all about us monsters up here in the palace. Rylan sighs.
You're absurd.
I'm correct. Pop some gold and gemstones on that head of yours, and people will bask in the glory of your seismic power. It isn't only the fear of our powers. Mother rubs her temples.
Rylan, darling, I know you think I took power from you, but it wasn't my intention.
She takes his hand in hers.
It's true that the 4 of you are more powerful than your grandfather or I ever were.
Grandfather scowls at that. Having 4 minds and hearts to control the elements makes you formidable as a unit, but...
What?
The veins in Rye's neck strain against his skin. Father interjects.
Some wonder if one person doesn't control the magic. Who's to say which of those who do should rule the kingdom?
Wine shudders in the glasses, and I tense for worse. People are questioning Rye's claim to the throne.
As far as I know,
Rylan says in a low voice,
being firstborn is sufficient for every other title and court.
How is it that a queen's firstborn son, who can, in fact, move mountains, is possibly not enough?
Our court has never been like any other,
Mother says. Power to rule came with magic. With the magic split, she lets out a slow breath, it's agreed that each of the 4 of you have equal claim to the throne.
Oh, no.
A tremor rattles the palace. Wine glasses go toppling over. I hold out one hand to raise them into the air, righting them before they spill. The other I wave toward the cake to keep it from toppling, blowing the candles out while I'm at it. I don't suppose Rylan will be quite in the mood.
Hasn't enough of my birthright been taken?
As the words are bellowed, I wrap the room in a shield to keep this conversation private. His outburst would be heard on the other end of the palace.
We can't have four rulers!
We won't. Mother folds her hands together. All four of you will have the opportunity to prove yourselves. There will be a series of trials, and the winner, whomsoever passes and is deemed most worthy, will be the next ruler of Alcos. Chapter 3. My hands drop, but everything remains suspended in midair. She didn't just say, "We're not." "I have to compete for my crown." Ryland springs to his feet.
"This is outrageous! I've been preparing for this my entire life!"
A cool waft brushes my face of its own accord, focusing me. "This is so unfair. Ryland."
"You shouldn't be worried, then."
Marcus tries to grab a wine glass from the air, and I let everything settle back into place.
"You have the advantage over us. So what's to fear?"
He looks at our older brother over his glass as he takes a sip.
"I'm not worried. The whole thing is degrading."
Nina scoffs. "Sorry to drag you down to our level." The four of us have always bickered and bantered, but this is different. I don't want us set against each other.
"Mother, don't you see what this will do to us? How can you allow this?"
"My loves, it is the only way."
"No,"
I say.
"It can be whatever way you say. You're the queen."
Grandmother offers me a slight smile. "Arabella, you'll soon learn that being queen doesn't mean the world bends to your will."
"I'm only to be a consort. Mother is sovereign."
Saying only a consort to grandmother sounds unkind, but she knows what I mean. Nina cocks her head.
"What happens if Ara wins?"
"She won't,"
Rye growls.
"Would she still marry Prince Jameis?"
Nina continues as if Ryland hadn't spoken.
"Could she be queen of both kingdoms?"
My betrothal contract certainly couldn't have taken this ridiculous turn of events into account. The heir has freestanding choice over his or her marriage, but since I'm already locked in, my heart races. Surely no one could expect me to...
Her betrothal would remain intact.
Father's eyes find mine, and a tremor rattles me from within, worse than any of Ryland's quakes.
"If you win, you would be sovereign of Alcos and queen consort of Sirorn."
The thought of multiple crowns makes my shoulders buckle. If I didn't know better, I'd think Marcus was trying to drown me. I've only recently come to terms with my betrothal. It's not what I'd have chosen, but shoring up an alliance with Sirorn is vital when Penham's simmering animosity toward us is always threatening to boil over. Whether or not I want Jameis is irrelevant. I want to protect my family and kingdom. My task in that effort has already been assigned. It would be wildly unjust to drop the responsibility of both kingdoms and the alliance on me. I'm not capable of it all. Pressure builds behind my eyes.
"No, I..."
"Is that what the ministry wants?"
Ryland wrings his hands and paces the length of the large table.
"To join Alcos and Sirorn as one under Arabella and Jameis?"
"They would still be individual kingdoms," Marcus says. "Right, Mother?"
"Yes."
Ryland tries again. "It would certainly strengthen our relations, though."
"Some think that would be beneficial," Mother says. "However, plenty of them believe it would be a conflict of interest to have the King of Sirorn as consort here." To think of my future marriage being a matter of debate in ministry meetings turns my stomach. It's difficult enough to picture Jameis and me side by side as king and queen in Sirorn, and I've sat with that idea for the better part of a year. It'll take a massive transformation for me to fit into Sirorno society. There's no way for me to be Alcosian and Sirorno. Our kingdoms are too different. I've accepted I'll have to suppress my style, outspokenness, and my overall personality to make my future their work. I can't do all that and be Alcosian enough to rule here. I push away from the table.
Would you all stop speaking about me as if I'm not here? This is my life you're talking about, not strategy in some game. None of it matters. I won't do it. I'm not participating.
As I rush out of the room, I add,
if the three of you want to tear each other's throats out for the crown, be my guest. I'll not have anything to do with it.
The transparent shield I'd soundproofed the room with shatters as I walk through it. So flustered am I that I stomp up the winding stairs rather than shooting through the middle. I need the feel of stone under my feet, the strain in my legs to remind myself I'm not dreaming. The kingdom comes first. It must. Magic isn't a gift given to us to play with. It's a tool we must use to aid and guide Alcos. The well-being of our people is the primary driving force of my heart, but if it shreds our family, what good can we be to them? That's all this will do. Marcus was already being an ass, poking at Ryland's confidence. Nina's first priority will always be Nina, her perpetual desire for anything she can't have, from toys as a little girl to wine as an adolescent, never strayed to the crown because that was obviously not possible. Now that it is, I have no doubt she'll do anything to get it, simply because it wasn't supposed to be hers. It's sad how little it takes to unravel us. Well, I suppose this isn't a little thing. Lucy is waiting in my chamber when I enter, and drops to a low curtsy.
Good evening, my lady. It's earlier than I expected. May I help you out of your gown?
She's being too formal. News must be spreading through the back halls of the friction at dinner. Some things are no match even for my magic.
No, thank you. I can manage.
Plus, I don't suppose I'll be left alone, so there's no point in getting undressed yet. I won't need anything else tonight.
All right, then.
She dips her chin.
Good night.
Good night. I sprawl out on my chaise longue and immediately regret not asking for wine or taking some of that cake with me. That really would have done it. Sorry, Rye. You may not get your crown, and I'm taking your birthday cake. After some time brooding with my swirling thoughts, I reach around to the side table and pull out a sheet of paper and a quill. As I finish scrawling a note, the door opens. I glance up to see Ryland peeking his head through. Come in. As I sign it, Rye says, Can't you float the quill to write? His hands are held conspicuously behind his back. A warm breath of air dries the ink. I've never tried. I don't suppose my handwriting would be very good. It wouldn't actually be handwriting at that point. I almost grin. He seems to have calmed down at least.
What's behind your back?
Ryland presents a large serving of cake and sits next to me. My note floats out of the open window on a determined breeze.
You know, regardless of where I rank against Nina, you are my favourite brother.
You are my favourite sister. Now. At that, I grin around a forkful of cake. The minty filling between layers of chocolate sponge is divine.
Your birthday was rather ruined.
Your gifts were the highlight. I wouldn't think the cushion for a crown he may not wear would bring him much joy at this point, unless he's so confident in winning. Your refusal meant a lot to me. Oh, that gift.
Of course. We've all always known the throne would be yours. This entire mess is absurd.
Absurd indeed, but it's going to happen, and you do have to participate.
Ryland, I don't want it. I don't want the pressure of uniting the kingdoms. I don't want the anxiety against the idea of uniting the kingdoms. I don't want to take the crown from you.
Thank you, but if you don't participate, there will always be discord over whether you would have won. Also, Marcus and Nina will no doubt team up against me. I could use your help. I shake my head as I shovel more cake into my mouth.
Can I help by reasoning with them?
I swallow my cake after that glorious example of why I should be no one's queen.
If we have to go along with this, perhaps the three of us can just let you win.
I don't need you to let me win.
Well, I don't like the idea of waging a war against the twins.
He sighs and leans an elbow on the back of the sofa. You may want to wait a little before negotiating a peace treaty. Things got a little heated after you left. Ryland tells me the story as I eat my cake. Nina's questions took the turn of assuming she'd win, which aggravated Rye beyond the limits of his grounded patience. The vision of garlands ensnaring Nina, as our parents and grandparents tried to stop their fight, is much too funny for me to keep being solemn. I almost wished I had stayed for that part. When she torched the branchlets, which I admittedly should not have shackled her with, the tablecloth caught fire, Rye says. Marcus doused the flames. The dining room
is a bit of a disaster.
But you saved the cake. Laughter rocks my shoulder.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?